This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. President Barack Obama and the First Family touched down in Cuba on Sunday, making him the first sitting U.S. president to visit the island nation since 1928. Before Obama, the last and only American president to visit Cuba while in office was native Vermont son Calvin Coolidge, who traveled to Cuba to address the 6th Annual International Conference of American States in January of 1928. Coolidge was greeted with fanfare as thousands of Cubans flooded the city to hear the visiting U.S. leader. And while a different era and different circumstances, Coolidge's mission was not entirely different from President Obama's. His speech focused on showing Cuba the path to democracy and independence and trying to strengthen relations with the country. To learn more about Coolidge's visit and the significance of President Obama's historic trip as well, we're speaking with Amity Schles, the chairman of the Coolidge Foundation, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
First off, can you give us some historical context here surrounding then-President Calvin Coolidge's visit to Cuba? What were U.S.-Cuban relations like at the time?
U.S.-Cuban relations were in the context of larger relations of the United States with the Caribbean, for example, or with Latin America. And this was the transition from a protectorate to sovereign nations. So here's a step. Coolidge goes to show goodwill, to show the hope that it can become fully independent from the United States. It wasn't yet.
And President Obama's visit, of course, is being called historic, but it's not happening without criticism, especially among many exiled Cubans who are living in Miami, many of whom fled the communist nation, and they regard the Castro brothers as brutal dictators. Did Coolidge face any political backlash when he visited there?
There was stored resentment, as serious as the resentment now in Florida towards President Obama's visit. That regarded sugar. Because on the one hand, President Coolidge was here to make nice, let's be friends, let's talk. On the other hand, he was slapping, his administration and Congress were slapping very heavy tariffs upon Cuba in its key export, sugar. So someone comes with love and does the precise thing that hurts you. What kind of person is that?
So the resentment, you're saying, was really coming from the Cubans who were not happy about this tariff on the sugar.
That's right. Coolidge was a protectionist down to his bones. He favored tariffs. He wanted to protect American industry, including American sugar. And Vermonters will know why. It's awfully hard to make maple sugar. It takes a lot of work. We don't have sun all the time. And it's expensive. It was expensive then. If cheap sugar comes from Cuba, our maple sugar industry, oh, wow. He knew this from childhood. In Plymouth Notch, his father could, if winter came, they needed sugar. There were two things they could do. They could take money and go to Ludlow and buy the sugar, or they could use their own. And then as now, Vermonters had an inclination to use their own and to build up their own. So one of the amusing things that happened with Coolidge is one of his staffers became a lobbyist for Canadian maple sugar. That is an insult.
That is really an insult.
I'm sure the president didn't like that. And when he looked at Cuba, he saw a competitor for something his father did right here, around this time of year, by the way, at Plymouth Notch. They said Coolidge was pretty good sugarer himself, that he could get a lot out of a tree. So he wasn't just a president. He was a farmer going to Cuba, visiting competing farms.
What do we know about what Coolidge said during his visit?
He basically said, let's make friends, and you are sovereign, which wasn't quite true because of the famous Platt Amendment, which said the U.S. could jump into Cuba when it rated jumping into Cuba necessary. Remember, U.S. troops were in Nicaragua at this time. Remember the name Sandino, from which the word Sandinista comes? Sandino was fighting with someone else, and the U.S. was in and out of Nicaragua. There was a terrible war in Mexico in this period, the Cristero War. The U.S. was kind of involved in that in a not very satisfying way. So the U.S., as much later, was a mess all over Latin America. That's the main thing to know. This was an effort at friendship, but insufficient.
What about Calvin Coolidge's sort of foreign policy theory or philosophy at the time? Was he the kind of president who would rather not get involved in these kind of conflicts that you're describing here?
Yes, and that's part of the problem. I mean, today we say we don't want to jump into here or there. We've jumped into too many places, but then injustice happens here or there. Coolidge supervised a reduction in the amount of battleships. He wanted the U.S. to disarm somewhat. Coolidge observed World War One right close up because he had been governor of Massachusetts at the end of World War One, and he saw the soldiers come home on the ships with only one leg instead of two. He saw the awful visage of war, very reluctant to jump in. So he hoped we could make friends with everyone, bide our time, and over time, nations would become more stable as their economies flourished.
You know, as I understand it, it was unusual at the time for a sitting U.S. president to leave the United States and visit a foreign country, whichever country it may have been. Is that the case?
Yes, it is. It was a big deal when President Wilson went to France. It was a big deal when Warren Harding went to the West Coast. And the reason is there were no antibiotics. There were no anti-malaria pills. There was no air conditioning in the world. And presidents could get sick. Presidents always went by ship. They weren't traveling yet by airplane. So they couldn't get home fast when they got sick, right? So it was risky to send a sitting president somewhere where he might contract a disease or be hurt.
Well, there is at least one Vermont link to this current Cuba visit, and that's having Vermont's senior senator Patrick Leahy along for the visit. And he's been a vocal advocate for ending the long-standing U.S. embargo with Cuba. In your view, Amity Schlesen, I'm asking you to jump forward to the present here, but does that embargo have to end for this to have a lasting historical importance, or does just the act of having an official visit from a sitting U.S. president, the first one since Coolidge, really qualify as an historic event?
It really qualifies as a historic event, just as the Coolidge visit did. The question is there follow-through with freer trade? Now, whether that free trade comes before or after the Castros leave, that's for someone else to settle. But the main point is it has to come pretty soon. Otherwise, we look like a hypocrite. We want you to be capitalist, but we're not being capitalist with you. That's the challenge. This is hard to decide, though, how you proceed with a nation at a turning point, as Cuba is right now.
Amity Schlesen is the chairman of the Coolidge Foundation and also author of the biography Coolidge. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.